What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to Fan Culture. This is Sid. Brandon is actually out this week, but it's all good because we're actually adding to the squad. Sakani is going to be joining us next week, hopefully, as well. We got Carl here. Welcome, Carl. Pleasure to have you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. No, you got it. We're excited for what you're going to bring to Fan Culture. Carl is a contrarian of the group, so I'm pretty sure the conversation is going to be spicy at all times.
I'm excited myself, man. I'm just ready to get to it.
All right, for sure. We got a lot to get to on today's episode. We're going to talk about the Final Four a little bit. We'll also talk about should players be eligible for the NBA draft straight out of high school. We're going to talk about the AAF suspending operations immediately, NBA playoffs, who's the rookie of the year between Trae Young and Luka Doncic, and then just some other stuff as well. But first and foremost, there was a tragedy over the weekend. Nipsey Hussle was killed in his own neighborhood, his own backyard. Prayers up to his whole entire family. How you feel about that, Carl?
That one hurt. You know, I used to be bothered by this statement that people would make. It's even something that Nipsey said in a song where they compared him to Tupac. I always felt that to be a little offensive, but his death, it was real eerie. And then it's crazy how that statement, you don't realize what you have until it's gone. Like, right. It's real. And I'm sitting in the car, I'm driving, I put on some Nipsey, and I'm just like, dang, that's it. Like, no more music.
Right.
It's over. And it's crazy because the night before I had been introduced to his latest song, Racks in the Middle. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening to that song and I'm like, man, this is different. This is just a real different sound. Like, I'd love to hear some more of this. And I put that on Facebook. I like put the artist, the name of the song, like the little fire emoji. And I'm like, yo, this song is dope. And then the next day, you know, that happens. Right. And it's just like, man, when I'm really starting to become a Nipsey Hussle fan, mm-hmm. which I'm not saying I started to become a fan the night before, because I love Victory Lap.
Right.
Definitely album of the year. I don't care what trophy Cardi B has. But, you know, the fact that it's over and I have nothing but everything, you know, prior to that date to go back to, it was sad.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it's definitely sad. You know, real fans obviously know the music. I wouldn't necessarily consider myself a real fan. I was kind of in the same boat as you were. Mm-hmm. You know, I was familiar with him, somewhat familiar with the music, but I couldn't say that I was, you know, I knew everything from top to bottom. You know, I was with him since day one.
Right. True fans and stuff. Never lie and act like that.
Yeah, but, you know, I enjoyed his music to an extent. You know, I was very aware of, you know, really the works that he was doing in his community as well. I feel like, obviously, that stuff is more important than even the music.
Right.
What you do with your platform is most important, and he was using it in a positive light more so than a lot of other artists where we only respect their music and that's about it, you know, when it comes to them.
Absolutely. And one of the biggest things that even made me want to start paying attention to him, I'm not a follower, so anybody can tell me, yo, this album is dope, this rapper is cold, like, you need to listen to him. Honestly, when you tell me, I'm probably not gonna do it just because you told me, and I don't want to do something because you told me to do it.
Yeah.
But I watched his interviews on The Breakfast Club. If I can listen to you speak, then I know I can listen to you rap. And I enjoyed his conversation because I knew his music was going to be a reflection of it.
Yeah, you could tell what's in their heart based on that conversation.
Exactly. And Nipsey Hussle as a speaker, as a man, just what he presented as a human being, absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to send my prayers to his family, to his daughter Imani, to his son Cross. You know, to Lauren, she going through a lot right now. His brother, I'm not 100% sure about his parents, if they still on earth. But, you know, anybody that knows him personally, my condolences.
Yeah. And I mean, I understand people will probably ask, well, why are we even talking about this right now? It's entertainment. Sports is entertainment as well. But at the same time, these are real life people. These are real life situations. Families being affected by the stuff that we don't necessarily care about. You know, we'll type whatever we type, we'll say whatever we say, and, you know, we keep it pushing. But, you know, people, you know, they see those words and they're really affected by that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, real lives being affected. So we just want to make sure just to shout out Nipsey, rest in peace. Thank you for everything that you've done, you know, for the community, you know, the countless lives you've affected. I don't think anyone will ever be able to actually count how many lives you've affected directly, indirectly, whatever the case is, the inspiration that you've been overall.
Definitely.
So, for sure, for sure. Let's go ahead and jump into the NCAA Final Four. I think we can both agree that it's such a random Final Four. I honestly didn't expect any of these teams to be in. If you remember from last episode, I picked Tennessee, Duke, North Carolina, and Michigan to be in the Final Four.
You were just all wrong.
Yeah, 0 for 4. But Brandon was 0 for 4 as well. So
don't throw him under the bus just because you was 0 for 4.
Well, I have to make myself feel a little better. Right, I don't think anyone predicted this Final Four. No doubt these teams have gone through a lot to get there, so they definitely deserve it. But I don't think anyone thought it was really going to be these four.
Who would you call the biggest shock?
The biggest shock.
Because none of them have, like, terribly low rankings.
Right.
It's not like a 15 or a 9.
Yeah, yeah. No Cinderellas or anything this year. I know Auburn came in as a 5 seed, but Brandon did say that Auburn was a tough team. They have Bruce Pearl as their coach. He's a well-respected coach in the college ranks. I'd probably go with Texas Tech being the biggest surprise. I didn't think Gonzaga was going to come out of that region. I thought Michigan was going to come out, but still, Texas Tech was a surprise nonetheless. Who do you think is the biggest surprise?
You know what? I'd say Texas Tech as well. Texas just considering, Tech. Like you said, that region. Who else was over there? So I go with them as well.
Yeah. I mean, I know Virginia was a number one seed, but I didn't really think they were going to make it. Virginia always has an elite defense, but they're terrible in offense.
Right.
They still barely made it because they almost lost to Purdue. They probably should have lost to Purdue, but they earned their spot there. And I think all these teams definitely earned their spot. Obviously, the team that we all thought was going to be there that isn't is Duke. Did you think Duke was going to make the Final Four? Because I had them as my pick to win it all. I know that was the popular pick, but I really thought they were going to do it.
You know what? Yes, I would have given them the Final Four. I didn't think they were going to win the championship because I just felt like that would have been far too predictable. And with college basketball, one and done through the tournament, I never go with the number one favorite.
Yeah.
Because I know a majority of the time, you're just not going to do that.
Right.
It's hard to be your best every single night, especially when you're going up against a team that knows they have to be their best in order to beat you.
Yeah.
You know, you look at a team like Duke, consensus number one overall pick in Zion Williams. At one point in time, RJ Barrett was the consensus number one overall pick before the season started. During the season, he slipped to number two. Now it's looking like he might be three. But still, you have a guy that talented. I remember at the beginning of the season, they were talking about their point guard possibly being the number one point guard in the nation before John Morant sprouted. Cam Reddish has looked like he's going to be a great NBA talent when you consider the three-point shooting and what he's done, big shots he's made this year. So Duke did look amazing, but I didn't have them winning the championship only because I know it just doesn't happen like that.
Yeah, I mean, Duke did have a great season. I understand it didn't, you know, end with a Final Four appearance or a national championship. They did have a great season nonetheless. But I think that we always look at how players translate to the NBA game, and we think about what they would do in those kind of circumstances. Right. And we forget that college basketball is such a team-oriented game, and Duke simply wasn't the best team. They had some of the best talent, but they weren't the best team. In the game against Michigan State, really, in essence, they only played six players.
I was just going to say that they appear to be, and I'm use a term that LeBron used a couple years ago in Cleveland, they appear to be a little too top heavy.
Yeah.
You know, Zion has to score 30. RJ Barrett has to score 30.
Right.
Cam Reddish has to score 20.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, who else?
Yeah. And the thing is, maybe that style would have been effective had they actually, you know, run plays for Zion. When you watch Zion play, they're not really running set plays for him. It's offensive rebound, or it's, you know, I got the ball and it's 10 seconds left on the clock. All right, well, let me just do something.
Right.
Like, they weren't actually running set plays for him. They would run a little bit for RJ, you know, a little bit of pick and roll and stuff like that. Or he would just, you know, be ISO and make a move. But they didn't really run set plays to put those guys in position to get most efficient shots. They just did the best with whatever they could, one-on-one or whatever. They couldn't shoot at all. They were terrible. Three-point shooting team. Everyone right. knew that, so they were able to pack the paint. So, yeah, they just simply weren't the best team, but they did have the best talent. I think everyone can agree on that.
Yes.
Like you said, obviously Zion is probably going to be the consensus number one overall pick. Everyone expects that. So it kind of leads into this next topic. Because some people will say that Zion probably could have gone straight from high school and played in the pros. We've seen some people over the past few years where we say, why are they even in college? Ben Simmons being one. They could have gone straight to the NBA.
Definitely.
We know... Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to ask. Before we jump from college to that topic.
Yeah.
So between the Final Four,
mm-hmm.
who do you have moving on?
Yeah.
And who do you have winning?
Okay. So Michigan State plays Texas Tech and Virginia yes. plays Auburn.
Yes.
I have Michigan State playing Auburn for the national championship
mm-hmm.
and Michigan State winning.
Okay. I have Auburn as well.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Texas Tech, and I'm only going with Texas Tech because they played a better game
mm-hmm.
against Gonzaga
yeah.
than I think Michigan State played against Duke. And if
true,
if Michigan State plays the same way, I think they're going to lose. So, mm-hmm. I mean, my prediction is dependent upon Michigan State, you know, having the same type of game where they didn't get a lot of free throws. Only right. went to the free throw line 6 times total. Only mm-hmm. made 2 of those. Shot terrible from 3-point line. It's a little bit more dependent on that versus Texas Tech, who found a way to get to the found a way to get to the free throw line, converted high percentage, made, you know, a good number of threes to win a tournament yeah. game. So if Texas Tech can remain the same, I think they should be able to get past Michigan State. But I do have Auburn, and I'm gonna say Auburn for the win.
Auburn for the win.
I'm gonna take
okay.
Auburn.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. You almost made me change my pick between Michigan State and Texas Tech. You almost made me change my pick. But the only reason I'm gonna stick with it is because Michigan State, they have some senior leadership, mm-hmm. you know, especially in the college game. Limiting turnovers is huge. They only had 7 in that Duke game. Duke had 17. So although they didn't get to the line, they were able to control the game by not turning the right. ball over. I think Duke ended up with 0 fast break points, which is insane for any team. How do you not allow a single fast break point?
That's really unheard of. Like, I honestly, yeah. the fact that you said that, like, I've never heard of a team just having 0 fast break.
Right. Points. I mean, not a single breakaway steal.
Yeah, you like know, no leak outs, no nothing.
Exactly. Exactly. And you got to attribute that to, that's not luck. There's mm-hmm. something behind that. So I think Michigan State is definitely to blame, I guess you can say, for that. So it'll be interesting to see, though. I think it's going to be an interesting Final Four nonetheless. It's one where
I definitely see two competitive games.
Yeah. Oh, no, definitely. Definitely. I think the Virginia and Auburn game is probably going to get ugly because Virginia likes to play ugly. That's how they win games.
Right.
So, but Auburn's a tough team. I saw them duke it out against Kentucky. That game got ugly as well, and you know they were able to pull it off. So, I mean, no one had these 4 though. But we'll see next week what our picks are. If our picks were right, and, you know, maybe that will redeem us for the redeem myself at
yeah,
least.
Yeah, I didn't make no prediction.
Yeah, redeem myself for the 0-4. I gotta get these right. So yeah, let's jump back into
NBA draft.
Yeah, NBA draft. So obviously we know the rules right now, and this is an NBA rule. This isn't a college basketball rule, so people like to blame the NCAA. But players need to be 1 year removed from high school to be eligible for the NBA draft. So
yes.
that's including, you know, you can play overseas or you can play in the G League, whatever the case is. But do you think that players should be eligible for the draft straight out of high school?
I don't think all players should be eligible for the draft straight out of high school because... you leave high school, you hire an agent, you go through the NBA draft, you're not drafted.
Right.
And now you just ruined your eligibility. I think there should be a set number on how many kids coming out of high school are able to enter the draft. I think your rank mm-hmm. nationally should matter. If you're the number one player coming out of high school your senior year,
mm-hmm.
and it's pretty, you know, like, you right. know you're going to get drafted.
Right.
You should be able to enter. You mm-hmm. should be able to take that chance because it's pretty much the same thing. You're holding right. me back a year for no reason. Other than what? Maturity? How much does a year in college do with so much supervision, girls, classes that I don't care about.
Right.
You know, a limited amount of money, so I'm not able to really live. Now, that is an option. I can go overseas and be away from my family for a year, which is terrible. Yeah, I can play in the G League. Exactly. I can play in the G League and have a NBA type schedule for a certain condensed part of that NBA season for $20,000 a month.
Right.
If you are a top player coming out of high school, if you're ranked within the top, let's say maybe 10, 15, and you want to come out of college, you should be able to. I don't mind that a certain amount of people, 10 to 15, and if number 3, number 8, number 12, they want to go to college, then all right, the next three up. If y'all want to go, you can go. If not, not. You can either build your draft stock or you can take a chance now. But I think the NBA should be responsible on how many people they allow and who they allow.
I'm torn on it for a couple reasons. One being, I feel like, you know, most people come out of high school, they're 18 years old, right?
Right.
So you can obviously, you know, choose to serve our country at the age of 18. You can do X, Y, and Z. You're going to be treated as an adult. But here you can't make an adult decision coming out of high school for your career. But having said that, you know, just like you said, if you hire an agent now that, you know, doomed your eligibility, I think that if you end up being drafted in the second round or going undrafted, I feel like you should have the right to still, you know, retain your eligibility, you know, say, you know what, sorry, I'm good. You know, let me go ahead and go back to school, whatever the case is. Yeah. I don't know how that will work for the NBA teams, whether they would, you know, get like a, I don't know how that would help for their draft pick. I don't know if they'd be able to maintain that pick or whatever the case is.
I think it should, and it can work in the same exact manner of which you draft a foreign player, but they decide to stay in their country.
Do like a Euro stash.
Exactly. Right. Like you have my rights, but I want to go to college.
Right.
And you know, why not?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think it should be something along the lines of that, because I don't think we should deny people the opportunity. But, you know, most players going in, yeah, they declare for the draft and they think they get the analysis, they get the results from the combine, they get their projections that say, hey, it looks like you're going to potentially be undrafted. Do you want to make a decision right now before the draft, or do you want to make a decision, or you can't make a decision after the draft right now? But I think that that still should be a possibility, because you don't quite know how things are going to play out. And I don't think that, especially, you're not going to learn that much at the college level in terms of college basketball, because the game is so different. You could almost make the argument that high school basketball is closer to the NBA level right now in terms of just style of play. College basketball is set plays, it's running full court press, it's doing all the stuff that you don't
going
do in
against
the NBA.
A zone. Right. You know, that alone.
Yeah. I mean, can you really make the argument that Zion has become a better player from his year at Duke? It's questionable. Maybe he has, and I think that he has,
if
to an extent.
If anything, you should at least be smarter.
Yeah.
But the argument that some people have, oh, well, you work on your fundamental skills, you can do that without being in college. You can literally do that anywhere, anytime, practice, after practice, your own house. Like, you can do that anywhere.
Right. And you're going to be giving these guys, if they do go to the NBA, they're going to get the best trainers, the best nutritionists, the best, all that stuff.
Exactly. You know? And then when I go to college, these fundamental tools that you're giving me are more so fit for the game that I'm playing today versus the one that I'll be playing next year.
Right.
So you're teaching me how to break down a zone and how to penetrate a zone and how to post up in a zone and how to defend in a zone.
Yeah.
And then when I'm getting drafted, all of these scouts are saying I can't play defense.
Right.
Because I don't know how to play one-on-one. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to stay in front of anyone.
Never been put in a situation like that.
Unless you're Jahlil Okafor, who's been working on him probably since he was a kid. College doesn't do what people says it does.
Yeah, college isn't preparing you for the NBA. It's not like in college football where you see the NFL is taking college football principles and applying them to the NFL.
Right.
That's not happening at the college game. That's not, I'm going to take this Princeton offense and go apply it to the NBA. It doesn't work like that.
There's no direct association between college court and NBA court. You can definitely see one between college football and NFL football on the field.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's why they keep saying, oh, well, this quarterback is, you know, NFL ready because they run a pro style offense, Alabama pro style defense. Look how big they are and the way that they run this and this and that. There's a direct correlation between the way you play college football and NFL football, not with NBA.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
I've never heard somebody say, well, this basketball player is NBA ready because of the style of offense that he plays.
They look at their individual skills.
Exactly. Oh, he can do it because he knows how to control a pick and roll, but that's not truly indicative of college basketball because you can run pick and roll in high school, AAU, middle school, you know, you can do pick and rolls. You know, so it's completely different.
Yeah, and I feel like at the college level, when they're being evaluated right now, they're being dinged for things that aren't going to apply to them at the NBA level. How can you really talk about, you know, you would really make the argument, and I always come back to Zion because he's the most relatable, you know, situation. People act like Zion isn't going to be able to do a lot of what he's doing in college basketball. But like we said, there's been a zone offense, so he can't post up because how are you going to post up against the zone? You know, everyone's just going to collapse around you. But in the NBA, where there's more space and it's going to be one-on-one, who's going to be able to actually check Zion physically? You know what I mean?
And, I think a lot of people.
In no space. I mean, it's just, you know, mano y mano. And, you know, if you have legit shooters around him, he had one shooter around him that, you know, all season.
Right.
Give him two shooters, three shooters. He can pass. He's a willing passer.
He's definitely got a high
basketball IQ.
Definitely can. I'm conflicted on Zion because where people talk about his weight, I feel like he has a negative on his height and his length. So you get somebody who may not be 285, but I don't know if you have to be 285. I mean, you look at somebody like Carmelo, 240, 250 possibly, being checked by Paul George. Paul George doesn't weigh as much, but I'm smart. I'm long.
Yeah,
I can bother you in other ways. You know, you keep backing into me. All right, I'll take this offensive charge. Like, I don't know how many offensive fouls he's going to get trying to throw his weight around. And, you know, if I have long arms because you're playing technically the four or the five where your average height between those positions might be 6'10". All right. You keep backing into me. As soon as you get ready to turn, I'm knocking that ball.
Right.
Like, you know, and then there's a there's an intelligence factor that comes into it as well. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I'm torn between Zion because I see what I see and I like what I see. But when I try to place those same actions and same plays on an NBA court, I have a hard time seeing him being as successful.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, who, you know, how many people are as successful at a lower level than they are at a higher one?
Yeah, but I'm not gonna compare him to LeBron. I think that's unfair.
I don't think that's foremost. I don't think it's a good comparison.
Aside
from hype.
Right.
On court play? No.
No, no, they're completely different. But I could see him playing the four in today's game. I understand a lot of people think of the power forward and they think of, you know, 6'9", 6'10", 6'11". But a lot of people are playing small ball now. So those 6'10 fours are really stretch fours. They're not, you know, really, you're not going up against LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, as a power forward, you know, day in, day out. You're going up against, you know, Tobias Harris or Ilyasova, you know, guys like that. Some may be able to match you physically a little bit, but
I think
that's
a part of it too. Like, you think Zion Williams can really guard a Tobias Harris? Because, I mean, Tobias Harris is in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
Giving you 20 per game.
Right.
I don't really think he's going to let a – you think Zion going to come in and be able to guard him?
Not up front. I've seen him guard, you know, ones and twos in the pick and roll a little bit. But he's more so able to catch up just because he's so instinctive and he's so explosive.
Right.
But I don't see him necessarily being able to lock someone down from the perimeter. You know, maybe he can catch up when someone tries to pass him. But in terms of breaking someone down, like Tobias Harris in the mid-range game, I don't think that Zion has the skill set right now to be able to actually check someone like that or slow someone down. Right. That's gonna have to come with time.
It's gonna be exciting to watch, though.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. For sure. I'm definitely excited to see him, RJ Barrett, Ja Morant, you know, all the next class.
I like Ja Morant.
This could be potentially the next great class.
It's a little off topic, but I want to ask this question only because I did ask it in a Facebook basketball group. Would you be shocked if Ja Morant and Zion Williams, or I'm sorry, Zion Williamson had similar NBA paths as a Blake Griffin and a Steph Curry? You think about it. When Blake Griffin was drafted, going number one, period. Right. I don't care what anybody else can do. Blake Griffin has to go number one.
Yeah.
People look at it in retrospect. Steph Curry, two-time MVP, three-time NBA champion. Obvious number one overall selection if we can redo that draft.
Mm-hmm.
But then they don't take into consideration if he goes number one to the Clippers, he's not winning three championships. He's not winning two MVPs. He doesn't become who he is now. There was a point in time when the Golden State Warriors were actually prepared to trade Steph Curry to the Milwaukee Bucks instead of Monte Ellis.
I remember that.
People forget stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But would you be shocked? Because I understand that Zion Williamson is displaying a great level of individual talent, you know, in college basketball. But when you talk about somebody winning so many championships, being an all-star so many years, having so many or having so much success and possibly being a Hall of Fame player one day, there's so many different factors that go into that. Health, franchise, coach, teammates.
True.
And when you look at the fact that Ja Morant, Zion Williamson might have a higher ceiling only because he can't shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at everything that he can do, dribble for his size, defend a little bit.
Right.
You know, he's already athletic. You look at his size. He has a jump shot. Oh, he's unstoppable. Ja Morant has displayed that he can shoot. He can play in the pick and roll. He needs to be a better defender. But even if he does defend like a Tony Allen, you know, you're only ranking him so high as a point guard.
Right.
Would you be shocked if you really saw Ja Morant have a better career than Zion Williamson?
I wouldn't be shocked only for the fact that we've seen over the years – it all depends on what situation you get into.
Right.
You know, training staff, coaches, all that stuff. If Zion ends up in, let's say he ends up in Cleveland, as opposed to ending up in New York or Atlanta, all three of those spots will play out completely differently. I don't think that
that's true.
Zion's going to be Zion regardless, you know, in every single spot. Some organizations are a little more unstable than others. You know, you look at Devin Booker. Devin Booker's career could have been completely different had he ended up in somewhere like Atlanta with Trae Young or, you know, as a complimentary piece and being able just to come up as opposed to having to be the guy, you know, from jump. He'd definitely be more successful in terms of wins than he is right now in Phoenix for sure. But that's a dysfunctional organization. Although they're acquiring loads of talent right now. They still can't materialize that into wins because of coaching, because of organizational structure, because of their general manager, all that. So it wouldn't surprise me if Ja Morant ended up having a better career than Zion. Not only that, but because also the league is so predicated on point guard play. I mean, we can't really name many teams that either don't have a point guard, a legitimate point guard, or don't have a good to great to elite point guard.
And if they don't, they're at the bottom of the standings, like a Phoenix.
Exactly, exactly. If Ja Morant ends up in Phoenix, I think that's honestly, out of the lottery teams that are in the spots for between 1 to 5, that may be the best spot for him.
That's what I was thinking. I was honestly thinking that you put Ja Morant with a Devin Booker, with a DeAndre Ayton, with a Josh Jackson.
It makes
you have
everyone's
a nice
game easier.
Four core. Now, you still don't have much defense.
True.
Because, I mean, you think about it. Devin Booker, not a defender. Ja Morant already criticized. He hasn't even been there yet. Right. DeAndre Ayton came in. Oh, he's not a defender like an Anthony Davis, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, you still got to worry about filling him, you know, out that team with defenders. But
right.
I like him with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brandon made a comparison last episode. He said, Ja Morant, do you see him more so like a Penny Hardaway? And I thought that was a fairly good example. People forget Penny's style of play, you know, obviously in his prime, you know, him and Shaq in Orlando. And I see the comparison, and I think it's actually a pretty underrated comparison. How do you feel about that?
The first thing I think about when I hear the name Penny Hardaway is height.
Yeah.
So I automatically think that.
Mm-hmm. Think of 6'6", 6'7".
Right. So I don't see Penny Hardaway only because Ja Morant is a more natural 6'2", 6'3".
Mm-hmm.
But if we're simply looking at play, that's not a bad comparison at all.
Yeah. I think it's a better comparison than what people are making because they see explosiveness and they say, Russell Westbrook. Nah. No, they're not the same.
I see him being more efficient consistently.
Because
Russell Westbrook has had some terrible shooting seasons. Field, free throw, three. Season. Yeah, and it's on a decline. I see Ja Morant being smarter. I see Ja Morant being a little more efficient. So I like the penny comparison. I personally like that
one. Yeah. Yeah. So shout out Brandon. Good comparison there. Yeah.
Way to go, B.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, we'll see what happens with this class. They probably all, I mean, Ja probably had some room to grow, but this class probably could have come out and gone straight out of high school and been successful in the league or be able to kind of mold themselves into what they're going to end up still being down the road.
Now, college is necessary for some people, and I think they would be necessary for somebody like a Ja Morant,
yeah,
who played college basketball with Zion Williamson and other players and didn't get any shine until his senior year. Everybody leaves, now I can be me, mm-hmm. and now I finally got my shot. And then even when he does shine and he gets his shot, people are looking at it like, well, that's 1 year. So the best you get is Murray State.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's the best point guard in the country, which shows that these other teams that we're looking at probably should have been on y'all team.
Yeah, nah, for real, for real. But, you know, to each its own, we all make mistakes. And I know plenty of teams made a mistake by, you know, not getting Ja Morant somehow. All right, so this next segment is called Preaching or Reaching. So first one we're going to talk about is the AAF. They announced today that they are suspending operations immediately. I know they had a lot of issues as far as their payroll goes. I believe the owner of the Hurricanes, the hockey team, had to actually give like $250 million or something like that in order to basically kind of keep payroll going and keep the league going. But the money's kind of run out. The ideas have kind of run out. They kind of hit a wall. So when you think about the AAF, and I know the XFL is supposed to be coming out next year as well, these, you know, minor league or feeder league football, you know, teams and football organizations are bad for the NFL. Is that preaching or reaching?
I would say preaching. I don't think they can reach the level of the NFL only mm-hmm. because, especially with the AAF, I don't see the patience.
Yeah.
The NFL didn't start off the NFL. And the fact that these are businessmen that don't already have the mind concept of it takes money to make money.
Right.
You're gonna take some losses before you get your W's. The fact that they've really just gone about this all wrong.
Yeah.
Thinking that it was just gonna be such a success. We're gonna compete right from the jump. It's gonna be profit right from the jump. It doesn't happen like that, mm-hmm. especially when you already have a competitor like the NFL, which is like the biggest sport in America right now.
Right.
This isn't an international-based sport where you're saying, well, we're going to take our country's fans away from the NFL and give them something to focus on.
Right.
You're trying to compete and divide,
mm-hmm.
and you're not going to do that in 1 year.
Yeah.
So I do think it's preaching because of how they went about it and their expectations, and like you said, the fact that they've hit this wall and it's just kind of like, all right, well, I guess we just gonna take our losses.
Right. I think it's preaching as well, kind of for the same reasons that you said, but I also think the idea, from what Bill Polian said, he eventually wanted the AAF to be a feeder league to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really see that being feasible, because think about organizations, think about, you know, first round picks that have developed to be busts or didn't quite reach expectations. They'll end up being out of the league in 4 years.
Right.
They're still 25, 26 years old, but no one wants to take a chance on them. So why do you think that, you know, obviously Johnny Manziel was playing in the AAF, Trent Richardson, some other big names as well.
Right.
Do you really think that a team was going to take a chance on one of them in the NFL to bring them back? No one's going to bring Trent Richardson back at 27, 28 years old to be a running back for 2 years.
That's the first person that popped in my head when you made that statement. Yes, he led their league in rushing this year with 11 touchdowns and 6 games played.
Yeah.
But if you're the Indianapolis Colts, if you are the Cleveland Browns, I can't remember who else he played for in the NFL,
yeah.
but you already know. I don't trust it.
Right.
Because we've seen the success from you college,
mm-hmm.
which is why we asked you to come play with us, and now you're playing with a lower level of talent and
right.
you're succeeding, which is what we saw from you years ago at a younger age, at a healthier state, because mm-hmm. you didn't have as much miles on your body.
Yeah.
I don't want you back.
Right.
I already had you. I know how good you were. I know what your ceiling is. I know what I got from you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not interested.
Yeah, and all 32 teams have seen that. They've seen it at the level that they needed.
Right.
So I don't think that they're going to go, you know, try to find the next gym, you know, in the AAF. I think they're really going to focus on the draft and kind of moving forward and get younger players, get guys from the current college systems, just like we talked about earlier, how the game is evolving. Trent Richardson's time in college, the offenses weren't even the same back then as they are now. So he's almost out of touch, you know, a little bit. And on top of that, like I said, already aged. So why are you going to take a chance on someone that's 26, 27, 28?
A downhill power back when we run spread offenses. Exactly. You need to be able to catch the ball.
Right. I'd rather go just draft, you know, an unknown 21-year-old from Ball State.
Exactly, and take a chance on him.
And mold him into whatever I need him to be. Trent Richardson, you are what you are already. So why am I going to, you know, unless that's what I want, why am I going to go pick you up when I can just get someone and turn them into whatever I want them to
right,
be?
Right, right. So the only way I see that being possible, if that was their goal, if that was their expectations, you get someone who is either coming out of college and undrafted because of you know, off the field issues, possibly had some sort of a bad injury that nobody wants to take a chance on.
Right.
And then they show that they can still play. But a lot of that does have to do with age.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm one year removed from college and I'm showing that my knee is fine. Right. I just led the league in receiving over here. Mm-hmm. 1,300, 1,400. You can take a chance.
Yeah.
With
yeah. I'll
something like
take a
that. Then.
That.
Something like
yeah.
that. That's fine.
Right.
But for what they were doing, what they had. And then I looked, they actually had an ex-NFL player by the name of Charles Johnson lead their league in receiving.
Yeah, yeah.
He had about 687 yards as the leading receiver. So it doesn't even look like you guys are putting up the numbers that'll make me even want to pay attention.
Right. Yeah. No, I definitely agree with that. I know that people kind of like the style of play a little bit. It was a little more aggressive. You know, we know it's lightweight touch football in the NFL right now, or at least the target area is different. But I think from an entertainment aspect, they were a huge surprise and they put themselves on the map the first couple of weeks. When people saw some of those hits, they were like, dang,
right.
Okay, this is what the AAF is doing. But I don't know how sustainable that was going to be long term. And like you said, I think even just the overall star power or lack of star power, when you're seeing how am I going to find a team to latch onto and be a legitimate fan of and say, you know, I'm going to watch them, the San Antonio, whatever, every single time they're on. I mean, it just wasn't really hanging on to me like that.
And then you think about that, what you just said. They were trying to bring the excitement, the entertainment, quote unquote, the danger back to football, which is what the NFL is trying to get rid of. You look at somebody like Le'Veon Bell. Set out an entire season where he was guaranteed about $14 million because he didn't want to get hurt and risk the following season.
Right.
When that money does come into play with those minor NFL or those minor football leagues, all right, well, you got us playing this dangerous football game.
Right.
I need my contract fully guaranteed because
you're
not going to give me a $10 million contract, $2 million guaranteed, and then I get my $2 million, and I just got $8 million sitting here, but I can't rack up my yards to get that. I can't get my touchdowns to get
right.
that because y'all got us just playing.
Yeah, and I'm still trying to make it to the NFL to
exactly.
get that $40
y'all got, million. Us, y'all got us just playing, and now I'm hurt.
Right.
So, you know, it's a catch-22 with that one. I don't even know how many NFL players actually think about that. Yes, we are making the game soft, but we're also trying to make the game a little easier for y'all.
So you can play 15 years.
Right.
Regardless of your position.
Right.
So
that
right
is.
Now it's only been quarterbacks.
Exactly.
Play about 15. You know, running backs are flaming out. The average running back is flaming out in like 5 years.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, they always said NFL, not for long. Get your money and get out.
Right. And it's true. And it's very true. But, I mean, we'll see what the XFL has to provide, you know, come next year. I know Vince McMahon is behind that. And business acumen will be a little different.
I expect a lot of fireworks, literally.
Yeah.
A lot of fireworks, probably a couple horses running across the field. He going to put on a show.
Oh, no, he is. He is. So, I mean, I think the XFL is going to be probably a big hit for its first season back. Yeah. I know people liked it when it first came out. So we'll see what it holds there. All right, so let's talk about the NBA playoffs. So the playoffs are about to start in about a week or so now. Right around the corner is kind of what we've all been waiting for. The season feels like it drags out so long, and we kind of already know what team's going to be in the mix, and we really just want to see them finally play it out.
Right.
So obviously, when you look in the Western Conference, you've got Golden State in the first seed. Denver's still holding on to the second seed right now. Portland and Houston are not that far behind either. And in the East, you got Milwaukee as the number one seed, Toronto behind them in the two seed. You've got, you know, obviously Philly and Indiana and Boston to worry about as well. But really, in the grand scheme of things, only Golden State, Houston, Milwaukee, and Toronto are true title contenders. Is that preaching or reaching?
All right, give me them names one more time.
So only Golden State, Houston, Milwaukee, and Toronto are true title contenders.
I'm going to say reaching.
Okay.
Only because it would really, really suck for anybody to go up against Boston and for them to get it together in the playoffs. Right. It's too late to get it together, but it happens.
It's and possible.
We saw it last year with Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah. So all you gotta do is all you have to do is click for 16 to 20 games.
Exactly. If Boston is able to click on all cylinders at the right time, it's gonna be bad for the East.
Yeah.
Because one thing I've always said was they don't just have talented players. They have intellectual players.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jaylen Brown isn't dumb. Jason right. Tatum isn't dumb. Gordon Hayward isn't dumb. Terry Rozier isn't dumb. Like these guys, they understand basketball.
Yeah.
And when you put five guys on the court at one time that are not only possibly more talented than the player that they're guarding or they're matched up with, but they're mm-hmm. also more smarter.
Right.
That can create some havoc for the team that has to deal with them.
Yeah.
They just haven't really been playing that well together. For some reason, the pieces just haven't been mixing and
right.
meshing well. But if they are able to get that right in the playoffs, I expect it to be really bad for whoever they have to go up against.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on Milwaukee.
Neither am I. And I know Malcolm Brogdon's injury, to the average fan, it doesn't mean anything. But you can see on the court it matters.
Yeah.
It makes a huge difference. He's crucial to what they do from an offensive standpoint and defensive standpoint.
I like Milwaukee only because I like Giannis.
Yeah.
But and I love their coach. I think with MVP, mm-hmm. I feel like Budenholzer isn't being mentioned enough. I think he deserves
or in boosting Giannis's MVP status.
MVP status. I feel like he has more to do with why Giannis is being mentioned for MVP than mm-hmm. Giannis does.
Mm.
Where was Milwaukee in the standings last year?
Right. Yeah, I mean, coaching matters. Coaching really matters.
I mean, that's the biggest difference.
Yeah.
You get a brand new coach who people forget turned around Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
They were number one in the East.
Yeah.
I think his second year there.
Yeah, and he came from the Spurs coaching tree.
Exactly. You know,
but it just flamed out in Atlanta because Atlanta as a whole franchise flamed out.
Right.
But
I mean, they were never able to get over that hump with Joe Johnson and Josh right. Smith, Al Horford, all of those guys when they were talented.
Yeah.
But yes, I think he's done wonders for Milwaukee in their play. But when it comes down to the playoffs and when Giannis is not going to be enough.
Right.
Can Chris Middleton's 16, 17 points a game, can he boost that to 26, 27 for a series?
Yeah. Or can, like, you know, Brooke Lopez give you a consistent 15?
Exactly.
You know, like, Eric Bledsoe.
You ready? Yeah. Like, because I need you.
Yeah.
I don't trust his supporting cast enough to really consider them a true title contender. I don't see them beating Houston if that matchup happens to come in a 7-game series. I give them 2 games, but I just don't see them beating them 4 times. I don't see them beating Golden State. Mm-hmm. I think Golden State, Steve Kerr, I think they're going to find a way to. Honestly, I think if you're forcing Giannis to beat you, that might be a good thing.
Yeah.
Because one of the worst things you can do is allow somebody who's going to get 27, 28 points, regardless of what you do,
yeah.
to also get 13 assists.
Right.
Along with the 14 rebounds he's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop him. But what you can do is try to stop everybody else around him.
Right. And I think really, you've kind of gathered this from, you know, playing, you know, sports, whatever the case is, when role players start balling out, it's that boosts different. The whole team.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he making shots?
Exactly.
Oh, let me
go ahead and hit
it.
Some shots, too. It's so different. If you get 20 points from Brooke Lopez, you're probably going to get, you know, 15 points and 9 assists from Bledsoe. You're going to mm-hmm. get 20 from Middleton. Like, everyone's going to participate. Mirotic is going to get 15.
28 to 30 that Giannis is guaranteed.
Right.
You think 50 between him and Brooke, 15 and 65, then you get 20. That's 85 between four people. Yeah. Everybody else just make your shots when y'all open and we good.
Right. But if it's, if you're forcing Giannis to score 35, you know,
and
okay,
nobody else has more than 12.
No one else has more than 12, the pressure's on for someone to make a play.
Exactly.
And not everyone's ready for that pressure. But it's easier when, okay, he's hitting shots, he's hitting shots. All right, let me go ahead and, you know, get my little rhythm going too.
Right, right, right.
That's when teams get involved, they just overall play much better.
You just feel better.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't, every time we play football, you put that one little kid in that shouldn't be playing. He make a tackle. Oh, y'all hype.
Right, right. No,
y'all good now. Like, oh, exactly. We balling.
Exactly. Oh, so that team synergy is huge, but you can limit that by, you know, as weird as it sounds, letting the best player try to beat you by himself.
Sometimes that's what you have to do.
Yeah, and I think that may be the key for Milwaukee.
I mean, you think about LeBron James. He always plays great in the finals. Well, aside from Dallas. He always plays great in the finals. Loses more than he wins.
Right.
And a lot of times when you look at that stat sheet with his supporting cast, all right, well, dang, he averaged 30, but his next leading scorer averaged, you know, 17.
Yeah, you're trying to find someone who's the standout second scorer.
Yeah, like who else played well?
Right. And it usually wasn't anyone in those circumstances. So that may be the key to beat Milwaukee. So I definitely agree with you. I'm not sold on them. Boston is interesting because just like how we talked about with coaching with Budenholzer, Brad Stevens is the same way. If Brad Stevens, you don't know, come playoff time, he may shorten that rotation, and maybe Gordon Hayward is no longer playing 25 to 30 minutes. Maybe Gordon Hayward plays 17, 18, and Tatum and what's his name, Jaylen Brown, get those minutes.
Him, Marcus
Terry
Smart.
Rozier, Marcus Smart, you know, and get back to how it was a little bit last season. When you just realize, not, I'm going to play Gordon Hayward because he's a nice guy, like, I'm going to play
because
who gives us the best.
In college. I mean,
yeah,
come on,
I'm going to play the guys who give us the best chance to win. And I think that Brad Stevens may realize that. He's going to make the tough decisions because he wants the team to win, period. Mm-hmm. So whatever that's going to involve, he may have something up his sleeve come playoff time. And like you said, if they're clicking, they can beat anyone. They can beat Golden State.
Yes, I think so. Especially this year, because Golden State isn't Golden State.
Right.
They're still a good team. They're still the best team in the West, but they're just not them of recent years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of that has to do with the decline of Draymond Green. I think a lot of that has to do with the mental space of Kevin Durant. I don't care. There are a lot of basketball players who can tell me that they don't care, and I'll believe them. It's a lot of basketball players who can tell me, I shut off my phone. I don't listen to Stephen A. Smith. I don't listen to Shannon Sharp. I just go about my day because I got bigger things to worry about, like this game that I got to play tonight.
Right.
Kevin Durant cares.
Oh, no, he
Kevin Durant
cares
too much, and I think it's starting to get to him.
Yeah.
And if they lose, I think the decline of Draymond Green and I think the mental space of Kevin Durant and what I'm going to do this year, should I try to go be my own man? Not only do I possibly feel like I should be, I got people on my team telling me what they were before me, like they don't appreciate me, like a Draymond. And I wouldn't be shocked if this is the year that they don't make it to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
I have them going only because everything that I just stated is still speculation at this time. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be shocked if they don't make it. And honestly, coming out the East, I like Toronto.
Yeah, I think Toronto, because Toronto's a very deep team. I actually went down their roster a couple weeks ago, and I didn't realize how
that
deep
Jeremy
they really
Lamb
were.
Pick up, like, they That's nice. Huge. And they win when Kawhi doesn't play.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, and I mean, they're a well-rounded team. It seems like Kyle Lowry's kind of now gotten over, hey, DeMar DeRozan isn't here.
Yeah,
but
he
hey,
just
we
hooping.
Could still win a championship.
Yeah,
so he's just hooping now.
Like, so I mess with Kyle. Especially this year. Prior to this season, I always looked at him and I was like, why do you shoot so bad? Like 40% from the field, 33 from the three. Like, come on now.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like Kyle Lowry. I like Siakam. I like Van Vliet. Like, I
OG,
like their squad.
Ananobi.
Yeah, I like their squad.
They got a nice squad.
You add a Marc Gasol. who, if anything, he's going to do something for the culture. Mm-hmm. He's going to do something for the locker room.
Yeah.
You know, he's been to a conference finals, which he nobody...
hits big shots, too.
Exactly. You know, you still got Serge Ibaka and his defense and his experience with OKC and their success going to the finals once. So I do like Toronto more than I like any other team, only because I'm still hoping that Boston clicks.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't trust Milwaukee.
You know, and it's funny because there's two wild card teams on both in both conferences that we didn't even mention. We don't know what Philly's capable of.
No, not yet. But I just thought that they would have done. I mean, it's not like they've been bad.
I thought that they were going to be better.
Since they acquired Tobias Harris after the trade deadline. Yeah, I didn't think they were going to be. I mean, I'm sorry. They haven't been bad, but I thought, oh, it's finna get.
I thought they were gonna be great.
They got Tobias Harris, not like that's what I was looking at.
Yeah, but I thought they were gonna immediately be the best team in the East. I thought they had a chance to snatch Milwaukee.
Because you look at that five, you look at Simmons, Redick, Butler, Harris, Embiid. That's a nasty five. Yeah. That's like a how you get all five of them on your team on 2K5. And like what trade did you make? That's a good five.
And even then, like on their bench, they have a solid bench as well. You know, TJ McConnell's tough. You know, he's good for
a little Philly Dellavedova.
I've always been a Jonathan Simmons fan.
So have I.
I think he's huge. You know, he's a guy you're able to bring in and, you know, just ups that defensive intensity.
Do a little
bit
of everything.
You can switch everything, you know, when it comes to having him on the court. Yeah, he does a little bit of everything. He's got the confidence as well. So Brett Brown, he still has a little bit to prove as a coach, but, you know, who knows, come playoff time. Like we said, everything can change. All of a sudden, people that were playing, you know, normal minutes, they're out of the rotation, you know, when it matters. So we'll see what happens there. Houston, obviously, we mentioned just briefly. You never know what Houston's going to be capable of. I know Denver's in the second seed, but I'm not really paying them any mind.
I like Denver, but it's kind of like it's similar to Milwaukee, but not because I don't trust them. But it's not like I'm looking at one guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Jokic is Jokic. Millsap is Millsap. I think next year when they're able to get a healthy Michael Porter Jr.
Oh, yeah,
I think next year for Denver is going to be nasty. This year they've had great success. I know people expected for them to be in the playoffs. I don't think nobody expected them to be number two.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they're one of two teams with 50-plus wins in the West, just them and Golden State.
Right.
So I like them, but not this year.
Yeah, not this year. And I think it also, the West is so dependent on matchups. Mm-hmm. We don't know who they're going to play in the first round. Right now, they're set to play San Antonio. San Antonio's in the seventh seed. OKC's in the eighth seed, but they both have the same record.
And what about a drop from OKC?
Man. And you know what? I was just thinking about that earlier today, too. I know a lot of people want to blame Westbrook or say, hey, they're not contenders. But a lot of it happened with Paul George's injury, you know, with the shoulder injury. Their defensive intensity went down. Paul George's efficiency has gone down.
Mm-hmm.
They've been able, and he's been leading their team. I know they, you know, you like people like to say it's Westbrook's team, but PG is leading him.
Yeah. Westbrook definitely found a way, and this isn't easy for everybody to do. He definitely found a way to be himself statistically, but still take a back seat.
Right.
In a sort.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think a third consecutive year averaging a triple double, still has a good usage rate.
Yeah.
But he's making the necessary passes to someone else saying, Showtime.
Yeah.
You good.
He's been deferring much more than he ever has.
And it's a much different game when you're here, shoot it, get me an assist, and all right, do your thing.
Right.
Two completely different passes.
Yeah. But just imagine Westbrook is someone that can turn that switch on too.
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine if he comes into the playoff with the right mentality and they're looking at Golden State or they're looking at Denver in the first round. Maybe not necessarily Golden State, but they could upset Denver in the first round.
Yes. If Paul George is still bothered by the shoulder injury, I don't mind it.
Mm-hmm.
But that can scare you because it's like, wait.
Yeah.
Let's not forget what got us here. He good now.
Right.
So
right.
Pass him the ball.
Westbrook could be like, I could already see the stat lines right now. Like Westbrook, like 15 of 34 or something like that. Right. Like, you're 8 of, you know, 28. Like,
why you do that?
Yeah, but I don't know.
He's another one of those. I don't care.
Yeah.
I respect that about Westbrook.
Yeah. I mean, because he knows that he can make the plays, but
he just always don't do it.
Yeah. Exactly.
He don't always make it, but.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. It's going to be very interesting in the playoffs. I can't wait till the seeding is set so that we can come back next week and talk about it and really start breaking down some of these matchups. That's going to be real interesting, especially in the West. Some of the matchups are crazy.
Yeah, right now, you know, with, you know, 7-8 seed being between San Antonio and Golden State, they're tied, literally 8.5 games behind, tied in record, 44-33 apiece. I think the Clippers and the Jazz, they're half game behind, and that can, you know, with 5-6, so that can be a difference between who plays either Portland or Houston.
Yeah.
Who's also tied at third and fourth with 3.5 games. So yeah, we don't know who's gonna play against who yet.
Yeah, everything is up in the air. So we'll find out next week and we'll break it down a little more. I think that's like the very last week of the season before the playoffs start. So
yeah,
the seeding should be close to being set. Everyone's probably gonna have like maybe one or two games left in the season. So yeah,
it's about a four team race in the East. I think between 6 and 9, you have the Pistons, Detroit Pistons. They're 18.5 games back. The Nets are a half game behind them at 7.
Mm-hmm.
The Heat are a half game behind the Nets at 8. And the Magic are a half game behind Miami at 9.
Yeah.
And so any loss, any win over there.
Yeah.
And there's no telling.
And I don't think anyone necessarily wants to play Brooklyn in the first round.
Nah.
They're probably the best team out of that group of four.
You think if Brooklyn finishes 8 against Milwaukee, that can be a good
that could be a very good series
to watch. I think Brooklyn gets destroyed by Toronto.
Oh yeah, they get
4-1 at best.
Yeah,
I think if they go up against Milwaukee, they can possibly get 2-3 games.
Yeah.
That can be a competitive 6-7 game series.
Yeah. Who's in the third seed right now in the East?
That is Philadelphia.
I don't see them beating Philly, but that'd be an interesting series as well. I think their best shot, which is crazy, is Milwaukee.
The number one team. Yeah. And that's hard to say. And I'm pretty sure for some people it's even hard to swallow. But yeah, with Philly, they're 8.5 games back, and they have a pretty good lead over 4 and 5. With Celtics and Pacers, who are both tied at 12.
Mm. Yeah, I can't wait. I've been waiting all season for the playoffs. Yeah.
How does it feel not to have LeBron James in the playoffs this year? Does that even cross your mind, or do you have to be reminded by that?
I kind of have to be reminded by it, to be honest. I haven't, because when I think about LeBron being out of the playoffs, it was already going to be different with him not being in the East because I wasn't even really watching the Eastern Conference playoffs that much. Right. Not until the conference finals. But now, you're going to be watching everything. You know, it would have been interesting to see him in the West.
I'm more interested in the East now.
Yeah, I'm way more interested in the East now. The East, the league in general is becoming slightly more balanced. I understand record-wise, the West is still stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got 2 to 3 legitimate teams in the East that could beat someone, whoever comes out of the West.
Yeah, I mean, as of right now, the best 2 records in the NBA both belong to Eastern Conference teams. When's the last time that happened?
Man, the East hasn't been that good since, Miami and Boston?
Man.
You know, 2011, 2012.
Those were some good NBA years. I mean, you think, even before Miami, Cleveland, Boston, Orlando, Washington, Atlanta. Those were some really good teams that I love to watch.
Yeah, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah, with Miami, it was just, you know, one team. You know, at first it was Chicago, then it was Indiana.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I forgot about Chicago and Indiana. And even pre-LeBron and Bosch Miami, Wade was still a problem out there, you know, between their championships. So.
Right. And, you know, they had some close series with Boston when he first got to Miami. But I had Miami as like a favorite in all of those. I just wanted Boston to win.
Yeah. Nah, but can't wait till the playoffs. We'll have Sakani and Brandon back here, and we'll get a little juicy in those conversations as well.
Insight.
Yeah, but we're going to stick with NBA for now. Obviously, the Rookie of the Year debate has now become a debate. You know, all season long,
Luka, everyone Luka, print, Luka,
it was Luka, 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 and then here comes Trae Young. Every time, it seems like every time I look, Trae Young is either making a buzzer beater, he's crossing someone, or he's making some sort of highlight.
Right.
So, I mean, who do you think is Rookie of the Year right now?
Honestly, it's still Luka, and it's a very easy decision for me.
Very easy?
Very easy. I understand what Trae Young has been doing as of late, and some people say better late than never.
Yeah.
In this case, they're wrong. A little too late to the party. Luka has been doing what he's been doing all year.
Right.
And he's improved his numbers after the All-Star season as well. So
isn't he averaging almost a double-double since the All-Star break?
Yeah. So it would be a difference if Luka was averaging, let's say, 25-7 before the All-Star break, and then after he dropped to 15-4-4 while, you know, Trae Young, you know, upped his numbers. But even so, you played more games prior to the All-Star than you do after. Yeah. Me personally, I'm going with the guy who's been more consistent over the course of the season, who has more wins in regards to his team at the moment, and someone who also improved their numbers after the All-Star break for that last leg of the season, as opposed to someone who we looked at and we saw, okay, so you can play on the NBA level. You're just not an efficient scorer, but you can play.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, okay, you're showing, oh no, I got this. Like I'm you know, I'm getting my leg, like I'm fine now. But that's really all it is. Like, yeah, the last 30 games, you've been good.
Right.
First 50.
You caught your stride. But there were some months, I think the month of November was especially terrible for Trae. He struggled mightily, you know, during that month. And I think Luka kind of caught his stride in November, December.
Right. So. And then even now, it's like, okay, Trae, you're averaging 8 assists. You're averaging 4 turnovers.
Yeah. I mean, both of them are high in turnovers, but that's kind of just to be expected with the rookies. I do agree with you. I think Luka is still the pick. But I think it's gotten so much closer. I can see people make the argument for Trae, but personally, I still go Luka. Just like you said, the consistency matters. And when I look at their stats back-to-back, so Luka's averaging about 21, about 7 rebounds and about 6 assists.
Right.
And Trae is about 19. Just over 19 points and 8 assists. Okay. Shooting percentages, they're both pretty much a wash. They're low 40s.
Both 32-33%.
Yeah, three-point percentage is pretty bad. Turnover is pretty much the same. Luka does have one steal, about 1.1 steals, and I think Trey's under one. He's like 0.7 or 0.8.
Yeah, it was like
0.7,
0.8.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you look at that stuff. But to me, having Trae as a point guard, 8 assists as a point guard isn't as impressive as 6 assists as a swingman slash distributor slash point forward, whatever you want to call it. So I think overall, that's more impressive. If Trae was out here, you know, 9.5, I'd be like, ooh, okay. You know, 9.5 assists
give me
a game. You know, like,
6.5 boards with those 8
boards.
Yeah,
he's at like 3.3 rebounds a game right now. So that's
more balanced.
That's low. That's low. I think Trae gets the limelight right now because just like how Luka was before, Luka had the buzzer beaters. He had the big shots.
Yes.
Now it's Trae's turn to get all the big shots, all the buzzer beaters.
Yeah, you're getting the highlights.
Yeah.
And so we pay attention more.
Right. And I know Luka's missed a couple games. I think Luka's played 70 games and Trae's played 77 so far. So
yeah,
I know
he's
missed a couple games. That's almost like an out of sight, out of mind type thing. But how would you feel about co-rookie of the year?
I wouldn't like it only because I feel like Luka has done more for longer.
Mm-hmm.
So he just deserves it more to me.
Yeah.
I personally wouldn't like that.
And you know what? I think part of it also comes to the casual fan says, okay, Atlanta doesn't have anyone. They only have Trae Young. They don't have anyone else on their team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least when it comes to the Mavs, we say, oh, well, he has Dirk on his team. You know, he had Dennis Smith Jr. on his team.
Harrison Barnes before the trade.
You know, previously before the trade. You know, now Tim Hardaway Jr. So at least you can name some people that were on the team. DeAndre Jordan, you know, before that.
Right.
But the average fan can't really name anyone on Atlanta's roster.
No,
so
I can
you
name
feel
two.
Like, yeah, Kent Bazemore.
Okay, I can name three.
Yeah,
Kent Bazemore, John Collins, and then Prince.
Torian Prince. They got DeAndre Brembry or Bembry.
Oh yeah, the point guard.
Yeah. He's a swingman.
Hey man, he a point guard on a video game.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
That's the only reason why I know him because I've seen him on 2K.
But I mean, most people will be like, "Well, Trae Young is doing all that by himself. He doesn't have the help that Luka has." But most of them don't really have good rosters necessarily. So I mean, I think that's somewhat a wash. But yeah, no, I think Luka's got to be the pick because he's been doing it all season. Like you said, he's also improved since the All-Star break. Right. It's not like he fell off and now here comes Trae just to take it, you know, right
and
at the end.
With that question of co-MVPs, I probably would have respected co-MVPs for last year's race.
Between Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah. Yeah. That one, I didn't understand people's gripe on Ben Simmons only because nobody said anything about Blake Griffin.
No, no, definitely
same
not.
Exact thing.
Same thing.
You don't see John Wall with a rookie of the year.
Right.
Because Blake Griffin got it. You know, he was drafted a year prior.
Right.
So if you want to do co-MVPs last year, that's fine. But this year, I think Luka, he got to get that one. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you bothered by the fact that the number one overall pick is not in this conversation at all? Because when you're the consensus number one overall pick, but you're not in the discussion for best rookie, what does that mean?
I think it's just hard because how often, and I'll probably have to do some thinking about this, how often has the number one pick not automatically been the best player on the team or in the conversation for best player on the team? Because obviously we know there's no comparison with him and Devin Booker in terms of the best player on the team. It's Devin Booker by far, and Devin Booker doesn't get the respect that he deserves.
No All-Stars.
Either. Yeah, no All-Stars. But think about some of the past, you know, rookies. Kyrie Irving, you know, as a number one overall pick.
Best player in Cleveland.
Best player in Cleveland, for sure. Anthony Davis.
Best player in New Orleans.
Best player in New Orleans. Anthony Bennett. Worst player in Cleveland.
I was like, where is he going with this one?
But yeah, I mean.
Blake Griffin. Unless you want to, you know, say Eric Gordon, but most likely there was an argument.
Yeah, that Blake Griffin was the best player on the team. This has kind of been the first time in a while, or at least that I can remember, that the rookie hasn't been the best player on the team, and it's been a significant gap. So he hasn't been able to, you know, how are you going to say, okay, we're going to give the ball to Ayton 20 times on the block and you go do something when you got Devin Booker?
I mean, I can figure out a way you say it, because when you giving me 58 on your 25 shots, we losing by 30. So it's like, might as well get Ayton numbers up. We're going to get Booker numbers up.
And that's true. And that's true. You would,
at least you get a big check.
Yeah. You got to be looking around for Ayton when, you know, your team is losing by 30 and Booker has 59 points.
Yeah. It's like, come on now.
So I definitely feel you on that.
Maybe you should do something besides score.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens.
If he was a little more Hakeem Olajuwon-like, he'd be in the mix, because then you'd be like, oh, well, he's just such a great defender. Like, it's 15 and 10 and three blocks.
Right, you know?
Like, I think he'd be a little more in the conversation. But, yeah, I mean, it's a weird situation. So I can get how he's not in the mix, but it is still kind of a little concerning, because it's like, okay, are you gonna end up being a superstar?
Right, like, what did we draft?
Right.
Did we mess up?
Did you end up drafting a complimentary big man?
Because I mean, you look at it, Marvin Bagley off the bench
has been balling. I seen him in person.
Like, I'm giving you 15 and 8 off the bench. He's giving you 18 and 9 as a starter. Playing a good 7-8 more minutes a game than me.
Right. I don't even remember seeing like a major highlight of him.
I've never seen
him. Has he even had a signature game, you know, his rookie year? I feel like everyone's had a signature game. Even Marvin Bagley's had some signature games coming off the bench. So
I can't think of anything for Ayton. Yeah. I can't remember them saying his own number one overall pick, DeAndre Ayton, had 40 and 20 last night. Nothing.
Nah, nothing. So
even when they lose, all they do is talk about Devin Booker's numbers.
Right. So maybe he'll end up being one of those dudes. We'll almost forget he was even a number one overall pick. It's like, hey, he's good, and that's cool. I feel like
Andrea Bargnani.
Right.
He's going to have a better career, but I feel like
that's what Greg Oden was going to be like. Greg Oden was going to, and he wasn't going to be a superstar. I thought he was going to be
I think Oden was going to be good.
Yeah.
I think Oden was going to be really good. Mm-hmm. I don't think he would be as good. Well, I mean, it's hard to say. somebody like a Joel Embiid, because two different skill sets.
Yeah.
Shooting now versus shooting then from a big man, two completely different things.
Right.
But just as a man in the middle, I'd say he'd be like half a step below Joel Embiid. I actually saw really good potential from him. And then when you look at his numbers when he did play, he was good.
Oh, no, his numbers were definitely good.
Like, I was shocked. I watched the video that went over the Portland Trail Blazers and their big three that they were trying to build with Brandon Roy, LaMarcus Aldridge, Greg Oden. Those three only played a total of like 60 games together. They won like 45.
Sheesh.
They were like win percentage as the three of them on the floor is incredible.
That's crazy.
They're like one of, like, if you look at their three in comparison to like the other three best players on any other franchise, like, they have one of the highest winning percentages. I mean,
And it's crazy, because
not even season, but still.
Right. And they could have even rebuilt something had, you know, because obviously Brandon Roy injuries kind of derailed him. So let's say that Greg Oden still ended up being fine and Brandon Roy was the one out.
Right.
Okay, you're bringing in Dame Lillard. You're not even in a position to get CJ McCollum, because you're going to be one of the best teams
in
the West.
Absolutely.
So, wow. Or even if you took LaMarcus Aldridge out and you brought in CJ, and it's those two and Greg Oden.
That's what have been crazy.
Yeah.
Portland just got real bad luck. But they're sitting number three.
It's something
right
in the
now,
water.
So
it's something in the water there, though. Yeah, they're, I think they're almost like, they're the new Toronto Raptors. Where it's like, okay, you're always gonna have a good season, but what are you gonna do come playoff time? Like, they got swept by New Orleans.
Yeah, they
swept
got
in the first
one.
Round.
There's no excuse for that.
Nah.
Not at all.
Not at all. And they were the three seed. So no excuse.
Man, did this dude just did this?
So first off, shout out Carson Edwards in the NCAA tournament. He dropped 42 on Virginia, albeit in a loss. But how often do you see even 35 points scored by someone in a college basketball game?
Those like Jody Meek numbers right there.
Yeah.
At 42. And I watched those. I didn't watch the game, but I did watch those highlights. That was crazy. Like, I'm a little upset that I can't get another game from him.
Yeah.
Because I just want to see what else will you do.
Right.
With greater stakes on the line. Like, you know, all right, it's 16 teams, it's 8 teams, it's 4 teams. It's national. I would love to see him in a bigger game.
And if he was getting buckets against Virginia, one of the best defenses in the country, just imagine what he would have done against any other team. That isn't an elite defense. I mean, he was literally, it got to the point where everyone knew that he was taking the shot, but what were you going to do about it?
Didn't matter.
Like,
I saw great defense played on him. Still drained.
Hit some crazy step backs, some pull ups. It was just wild. So, shout out Carson Edwards. I think he's a junior. I don't know if he's going to end up trying to come back to school or, you know, whatever the case is. But he'd be a good dude to have on a squad. You know, you don't really pay attention to him much in the NBA, but he shows a skill set. He's lightning quick. There were a couple times where they figured he was going to shoot a three and he just blew right through everyone. You know,
yes, very nice jab and go.
Yeah.
That's one thing. A lot of people don't got that fast first step, but he got that nice lean where he, but you're still worried about the shot.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you took too late.
Right. And we mentioned he looks like he could have played like safety or something. He looks like a little running back, like a little scat back there. Like,
dude.
Yeah. So, I mean, shout out Carson Edwards. If you end up going back to school, you know, I'll be watching Purdue games. If you go to the league, you're going to be my sleeper pick. So shout out Carson Edwards there. Next, we got up Emmanuel Mudiay. Did you see him get curved by D-Wade trying to do the jersey exchange? Everyone's trying to get Dwayne Wade's jerseys his last year. What'd you think about that?
I think that we all owe Dwayne Wade a round of applause. Because Emmanuel Mudiay is not the type of player that you want to trade jerseys with. If you're an NBA legend, arguably top three at your position all time, you don't give your jersey to a bust.
But to be fair, though.
Ain't no fair. You don't get my jersey. So, you can buy it at an NBA store and I'll sign it. But the one that I just took off?
But on
ain't nobody on the Knicks good enough for that.
Yeah, that's what I was just gonna say. So you just skip a team?
Yes. Absolutely. If you are not a superstar, you do not need to be trading jerseys.
DeAndre Jordan? Not a superstar.
I said
not a
superstar. DeAndre Jordan ain't getting my jersey either.
He's had superstar highlights. He put Brandon. He killed Brandon Knight.
You know what? He should have got Brandon Knight jersey that night. Then no, you are not getting my jersey. If I am Dwayne Wade, you have to be of a certain caliber to trade jerseys with me. Honestly,
I respect it.
Now, I do appreciate what he did for the guy. I believe it was in Atlanta.
Oh yeah, Kevin Herter.
I appreciated that one. That I understood. That I respected. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
You know, that's some fan appreciation type right. stuff. And I understand, Emmanuel Mudiay, you might have watched me growing up.
Yeah.
I signed a 2K cover or old live that I was on or something, right. but you're not getting my jersey. You know, those are special moments that it's. I don't even like the fact that it's in the NBA.
Yeah.
It was different when it was the NFL.
Of course. And it originated in, you know, in the NFL, and soccer does it as well.
You know, but with the NBA, I don't like it because of reasons like that. Now you're going to have Pooh Jetter trying to trade jerseys with
KD.
Yeah. Like no.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's. Honestly, could you imagine like Frank Mason Jr. coming off the bench like your jersey ain't even got no sweat on it and you really walking over to Steph with your jersey already off like I already have it off like right. you know what I'm coming for like nah
I,
bro.
Yeah, I feel like it is more so disrespectful to the star because okay why do I want your jersey
exactly like,
where am I gonna put a Frank Mason Jr. jersey at other than the trash.
This is the thing, my jersey is like a painting. It's gonna appreciate with value.
Right.
Your jersey is like a car off the lot. It depreciates as soon as you take it off.
Right.
Your jersey was worth.
You may not be on that team next year.
Exactly. Your jersey was worth like $69.95.
Yeah.
You wore it and now it's worth $32.23. And when you took it off after having it on for the last 3 hours and you didn't play in it.
Right.
Like when they look at this up. They gonna say Dwayne Wade traded jerseys with Embry from Atlanta.
I mean,
Dwayne Wade's stat line, he played 34 minutes. He had 22 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, 9 for 14 from the field. And they gonna look at Embry and it's gonna be zeros all the way across.
You know what? I guess, because I get your point, because obviously New York doesn't have any star caliber players. So maybe what he should have done, instead of donating or gifts, I don't know who he ended up even exchanging it with, but he said, or at least he claimed, I'm already giving it to someone. I didn't see who. But maybe what he should have done is he should have just donated it to MSG because it's the mecca of hoops.
And so that was his last time there.
Yeah, so just say, here, I'm going to give this to MSG. They can hang it. They can do whatever. Maybe he should have done that because, yeah, I get where you're coming from. I can't exchange jerseys with Emmanuel Mudiay. Like, bro, this is your second team, and you're still not a star.
Exactly. So, they brought in Dennis Smith Jr. They talking about bringing in Kyrie or
they still
Kemba.
Have Frank Ntilikina.
Exactly. Nobody wants you.
Yeah. Now, that's real.
And you lost your spot to Trey Burke.
Yeah. And
they're still not settled at the point guard position. You think about those four point guards.
When you have four point guards, you have none.
Those are four first-round point guards. I can't remember where Trey Burke was drafted, but the other three
like a mid to late first round pick. He was in like the 20s.
You have four first round picks. Three of them are lottery picks, all at the same position. And I think they might have traded.
Three of them were top 10.
I think they traded Trey Burke to Dallas for Dennis Smith Jr., if I'm not mistaken.
That sounds right. Sounds about right.
You got, so that's even worse.
Yeah.
Because you don't have that 20th pick. You have three top 10 picks.
Yeah.
All at the same position.
All at the age of 25 or younger.
I'm saying you still talking about getting somebody in free agency.
Yeah.
That's sad. No, you can't have my jersey. Just for that alone. No, get away from me.
Yeah, so I don't know how D-Wade is deciding who he's going to exchange jerseys with. Because you can't always just say, I'm going to give it to the first person. But then how do you tell that person, let me think about it. Like, what do you tell them? Like, are you going to wait for the better player to come to
you? You don't say nothing. And for our listeners who cannot see this, I'm going to describe it the best way I can. This is my nice way of telling you, hell no. You shake your head vigorously, but you also got to wave your hand across your throat. when you see that, don't even step toward me no more. I already know what you coming for.
So is that more disrespectful than like laughing and be like, yo, you funny? Like,
no, that's the thing, because it's nice. I didn't say nothing. If I laugh at you, I don't care about your feelings. If I just do this, I'm trying to be nice. Just get away from me.
I feel like that's so disrespectful, because it's like I'm not even going to hear it from you. Like, don't even bother approaching me.
That's the point. Like, sometimes I'm trying to save you. No, I'm trying to save you from embarrassment, because I'm considerate.
Yeah.
That is the most considerate, mean, disrespectful, but nice way to say no. Because what do you think? Like, just meet me in the hallway. Like, I traded with you, but I don't want nobody to see. Like, yeah. I'll meet me in the back. Like, no, you're not getting my jersey. I'm keeping this one.
But that's the ultimate sign of disrespect to the whole entire roster. That's him telling New York, yo, your whole roster is trash. I'm not even going, this is the one I'm keeping all season.
Yeah. I mean, y'all disrespectful. Y'all trash.
Then they are disrespectful.
Y'all disrespecting y'all fans James for Dolan. Being that bad.
Shout out James Dolan for that. Y'all are mad. Y'all are mad disrespectful as a franchise.
That's awful. He's made nothing but... What was the last good decision that James Dolan made?
Fire Phil Jackson.
But he's still paying.
Yeah.
So it's just kind
of
like
just to get him out of there, though. Like, you just need to get his aura out of MSG. But you need to bring in someone else in return that was respectable. They had... And I don't know... I'm kind of still on the fence about David Fizdale as a coach. I like him. Could they have done better? I think so. Could have gotten... Mark Jackson's been out there this whole time.
I don't know if people... Honestly, only because Mark Jackson is still out there.
He's been,
I don't know,
he's been blacklisted somehow.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what's going on? Like, is he not interested? Yeah. Are people not offering him jobs? Like, his name just keeps coming up, but nothing happens.
I think that something... Golden State put something out there. They said something, or some rumors got around. They haven't denied them. And there's something going around about Mark Jackson, which
I feel like
teams would rather go after Jeff Van Gundy than Mark Jackson.
I feel like that would be safe. I mean, with all of the information that's released to the media, you know, then to the public, I'm not saying you're wrong in any case, because neither one of us know. Jersey trades.
Yeah. I mean,
it's just not for everybody.
Has anyone been exchanging jerseys with Vince Carter? I would take a Vince Carter jersey.
Giannis.
Giannis.
I did see Giannis and Vince Carter. I've never seen anyone do it with LeBron. I don't know if anybody even asked him.
Well, I think they're more so focusing on like last season's. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I think that's where it's kind of deriving from, because I haven't really seen like...
Yeah, just, you know, anybody.
Right. So it seems like it's more sense. So, hey, it's your last season. Can I get you a jersey type thing? So,
no,
but
what would be
it's Vince Carter's last season, isn't it? Or did he... Or has
I don't
he even
think
announced,
he announced it?
It? But still, I'm asking him though.
I think he's going to play as long as there's a roster spot.
Yeah.
Because he could have gone to a contender, but he went to Atlanta because they offered him minutes.
Yeah.
I think as long as someone tells him you got 15 to 20, he going to play. Because it's kind of like, why not? Yeah.
Right. And when I know I can still go out there and play. Yeah. I mean.
That's a hard thing for people to give up.
Mm-hmm. No, it is. It is.
For me, I don't know how they do it. I don't like playing in a gym that's packed with people, like a regular boys and girls club that got too many people in there. I get nervous. I'm airballing everything. Y'all playing in front of.
Yeah.
Thousands of people.
And millions watching.
Knowing that.
Yeah.
I don't got that much focus, man.
You know, I feel like I may lightweight be afraid of the moment as well. Like,
turn all them lights on, everybody watching you.
Yeah. So, I mean, shout out to NBA players for how the heck they're even able to do. Then I think some do fizzle out because they're not ready for the moment.
Yeah,
they're
not
ready
for the
limelight.
It's a difference.
Yeah, no, for sure. So the last thing we got, Channing Frye is retiring, and he actually has some very interesting comments. So let me pull up these comments real quick and see what he had to say. So he said, quote, "I'm rich, I'm a champion, I'm 35 and retiring, and I'm living a great life. So if you think I suck, I'll meet you at LA Fitness in a year, MF-er." I love the comment because we always act like NBA players are trash if they aren't the stars of the league. So we lose respect for guys like Channing Frye, for Brian Scalabrine being one, Iman Shumpert, you know, guys that just don't produce at a high level. Right. And we act like because you can't do that, you're trash. Like, these are professional athletes for a reason. Just because they're not doing all the between the legs and fancy crossovers doesn't mean they're not capable of it. It's just not a part of their game at the highest level.
Right.
But they would cook us. They would, every single one of them. I don't think there's a single NBA player in the league right now that I'd be like, oh yeah, no, I could check them.
I don't know. It might be one that I think I can, but that's just the confidence in me as a defender.
Yeah.
I'm going to definitely get proven wrong.
Right.
But
right.
I'm going to try.
And maybe you'll find out, okay, they're not as good as I thought, but
he's definitely not trash.
Right. But yeah, he's definitely not trash. Exactly. Like, if you found a dude like Shumpert playing, you know, on LA Fitness right now, he's going to be the best player on the court.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be known. It's going to be shown.
Absolutely.
So, you know, even dudes like Brian Scalabrine, like, he could shoot. He can get buckets.
I think I could beat Brian today.
I don't know. I don't know.
He got something up his sleeve.
Yeah, no, he's got something up his sleeve.
But no, I don't mind what Channing Frye said at all. I actually like what he said because he's normal.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. We look at these people and they're greater than this, they're greater than that, they're more important than this, they're more important than that. He's a normal human being who's living out unrealistic circumstances.
Right.
You think about the fact people play basketball everywhere. People play basketball all day, every day. He's being paid millions of dollars to do it. That's what makes it so crazy.
Right.
And the fact that we're all watching him do it. Still normal. So yeah. When I come home, I'm going to still have these unrealistic things like this money, my house, my cars.
Mm-hmm.
But basketball is still basketball.
Right.
So when I step in that gym, just know what I'm going to do to you. I love that statement because he's bragging, but he's being humble at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, don't act like this ain't still basketball. Don't act like I can't play with you just because I might not be able to play with him.
Right.
Because you can't play with him.
Yeah. And there's a lot of players that never made it to the league that would still cook someone in LA Fitness. They're putting in work.
Absolutely. There's somebody in LA Fitness right now going to work.
Yeah.
Why, well, what happened to you? Why did,
right.
Man, lost my scholarship and it happens. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's very true. You can even go so low to think about guys like LiAngelo Ball. I could check him, but, and that's just my confidence too. But even then, you know, you see him and you say, okay, he's not even in UCLA. He can't hoop.
He averaged 35 in high school for a reason.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, let's go to the gym and find out. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, it's like you said, it's the people that are the worst is something that critique the most.
Yes. It's always the people that can't do that do the most talking.
Yeah. Because it's easier to watch and I don't have to prove myself. Oh, no, I'm not saying that I can hoop, but he can't. Like, that's really what it comes down to. So
right.
You never have anything to compare to. But you just, you know, say, oh, yeah, no, they suck. But,
right. And I mean, I get it to a degree. Just because I'm not good enough to make it to the NBA doesn't mean that I may not be able to look at somebody and say, I don't think that they're good enough to do it.
Right.
But I think what he's referring to, what Channing's referring to, are the disrespectful individuals.
Yeah.
Like he said, you think I'm trash. Trash is a disrespectful statement.
Yeah.
I'm at the bottom. I'm worthless. I'm something that needs to be thrown away. Let's look at what trash is.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying I'm trash, but you're not better than me.
Right.
That's where the disrespect comes into play. And I think that's the big issue that a lot of current and former players have with media.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to look at the game and say, he shot 10 for 30.
Right. I had it's a bad. Terrible performance.
But don't act like you can go out there and make one shot because you can't.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Stephen A. shoot against James Harden.
Yeah.
He didn't make one jumper.
Nah.
James said, dang, you can't make one?
Right.
You can't make one, dog? Like, come on, dog. You can't make one?
Right.
Like, don't act like you can do what I do. Whether what I'm doing is bad or good.
Yeah.
You can't do anything close to it.
Yeah, and I think most people don't even realize how big an NBA court is in general. So, I mean, you think a three-point line in a high school gym or a college gym is far. Go shoot an NBA three.
Add 5-10 feet to that.
Exactly. I put my whole body into a three just to graze rim. You know what I mean?
I'm saying, now run down court and play defense against somebody twice your size.
Exactly. Or go defend one of the best, you know, one-on-one players in the league or even of all time. And now go, you know, run around some screens and then go shoot a corner three off of.
Think about it. We've been playing basketball since we were kids.
Yeah.
5, 6, 7 years old. These are the greatest people to ever do it.
That's mind-boggling.
Like, you think, I'm not the greatest in the world at anything.
Yeah.
You think about how many things it is in the world you can do. You can talk, you can run, you can jump, you can cook, you can act, you can sing, you can dance, you can paint, draw. All the professions in the world, be a doctor, lawyer, whatever. I'm not the greatest at anything. I'm not the greatest dresser, nothing. These are the greatest basketball players in the world.
And we have the audacity to call them trash. Yeah, it's wild, but...
I'm sorry, man. To all NBA players, I would say it was trash. I'm sorry, but use trash to me. Yeah, but I'm sorry.
And there's one player that I especially call trash all the time, and it's Ben McLemore.
Why?
Although Ben McLemore can hoop. I know he can.
It's just so...
I mean, like me and my brother-in-law, Ronnie, we actually, because we...
Shout out to Ronnie.
Yeah, shout out Ronnie. Because we visit them in SAC every now and then, and we love to go to IKEA up there. We saw Ben McLemore in IKEA, and Ronnie and I were both like, oh, he trash. But I wasn't gonna go up to him and be like, oh, you trash.
Or
I didn't want to go up to him and be like a fanboy, like, oh, yo, Ben McLemore, da-da-da, because it's like I was just talking... You know, my energy just switched up completely. So, I mean, I have to just keep it on low.
Did you speak to him at all?
No, I didn't. I lightweight made eye contact with him, but it was kind of weird because I'm like, I don't want him to think that I'm, you know, checking him out or something. So, I'm like, oh, yeah. So I made eye contact, like, oh, yeah, that's Ben McLemore. Oh, yeah, cool, cool, cool. And then, you know, turn away, keep it pushing. But, yeah, I'm like, why are you shopping in IKEA anyway? You send people out for that. Like, that was when he was with the Kings. So, you know, he's making a couple million dollars a year. You know, it's eighth overall pick. So, I mean, you got it. But
ball out.
Exactly. Ball out. I ain't seen him walk out with anything to be real, but maybe it was just a front. I don't know. Maybe he was there for an event.
Maybe he thought, let me go see if somebody recognized me. I wonder how many people do that. How many known people, celebrities, people with fame go out in public expecting that or looking for that? Not even expecting it. Like, let me go walk through the mall and get some attention.
Just in some sweats and see who notices.
Let me just go get some attention because I'm bored. Let me go talk to some people and possibly take some photos. And then when you walk through that mall or that Applebee's and don't nobody pay attention to you, it's like, damn, I should have stayed at the house.
Right, and it's probably tougher for celebrities in other industries because they may be more average height or looks or whatever. Mm-hmm. But for basketball players, for football players, you're going to be noticed because you're buff, you're tall, you know, whatever. So even if people don't recognize Ben McLemore, you see someone that's 6'6". It's like, do you play basketball?
Right.
You know? Oh, yeah, I'm Ben McLemore. I play for the Kings. Oh, that's who you are.
You got to tell me all that, too.
Right. But, I mean, we're...
Went to Kansas? Drafted?
Yeah, but, I mean, we know basketball players well enough to where we can see him in traffic. Like, you know, I remember being in Vegas, and I saw Trevor, you know, or I didn't see Trevor Ariza. Ronnie saw Trevor Ariza. But I saw, like, Aaron Afol walk right past him. He was just wearing, like, some jeans and, like, a white T-shirt. No one else would have noticed him. We were like, hey, he'll follow. And then he turned around like, oh, yeah, what's good? Like, and then he kept pushing. But
he played for the Kings?
But it seemed like no one was bothering him at all. Yeah. Like, because he looked like just lightweight and average dude, you know? Yeah, a little on the taller side, but nothing special. He wasn't all iced out or anything.
Right.
Plain white T-shirt and Nikes, you know?
Chill.
Wild. That's everything that we got for y'all in this episode. Just make sure to check out our podcast, please. We are on the Anchor app. You can check it out on Anchor. We're on several different platforms now. We're on Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Spotify as well. Check us out there. All of our episodes are being posted there. You know, follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter as well, @FanCulturePod. Leave comments on our posts. Also, if you're watching from the Anchor, if you're listening from the Anchor app, you can actually leave voice messages. Leave those voice messages. Let us know. Give us feedback. Let us know what you want to talk about on the podcast. We can implement your messages into the podcast as well. We're all about interaction. You guys are going to help us fuel the discussion. So we're super excited to bring y'all on board. Like I said, just make sure to follow us on your favorite platform. And you got anything to add, Carl?
I just want to thank y'all for listening. I want to thank Sid for bringing me in today. I will be back next week.
For sure.
You know, let's just progress. Get better and better. And once again, rest in peace, Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah.
And y'all have a good night.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be very interesting next week. It's going to be four of us in here. So it's going to be some real, real juicy discussion. Like I said, just make sure if you haven't even watched the previous episodes or listened to the previous episodes, make sure to check those out as well. Yeah, and thank you guys again for listening. We appreciate the support. Peace.
That's a wrap.